You know, at least one thing makes me happy. That's kind of rare of late. To start out happy. I looked at the numbers, and it's a good number. We have 77 to go. That's what I hope you end up with last time. Everybody knows why we're here and why we're live on this Wednesday night, or you've been living on another planet. Unless you're surfing the internet and happen to accidentally land, or spinning through the sky and accidentally hitting GE3 transponder 20, or spinning the dials on a short wave, most of the people watching now know what they're watching and are regulars. With the Olympics going on, why would you be watching if you're not regulars? So you know why we're here. We're in a marathon. Well, why do we need 300,000? Well, we always need, but we never raise money for need. We're raising the 300 to prove that we can. You've been too long without this kind of challenge. We're moving into those months when people take off for the last vacation of the summer. We're suffering the consequence of people who double portion in July and take it back in August. One thing 29 years teaches you is the habits of these sheep. What's a little harder is for you to learn the habits of the pastor. Some of you get the idea, I'm going to change. No. I get amused at some of the younger contemporaries of mine. Eventually I will have outlived all these self-righteous preachers that have had their day of criticizing me while drawing upon what I teach. I look around and I see this pastor has retired now, and there's an associate in his place, and that pastor is retired, and he shows up occasionally on TBN. And this pastor's retired. They're not even capable of being a good retread. I'm just getting started. I want you to get started tonight. We have 77,000 to raise. We can do that tonight. And return to teaching the rest of the week. If you have not been a part of it, I'm asking for 300 of our people to give $1,000 by Sunday. I don't care whether it's tithe, additional payment on what you're paying on Secret 16 between now and Christmas, speeding it up. I don't care, it should be, if you haven't, a new commitment to Secret 16 in which you give the 1,000 this week. Start it right with a sacrificial opening. I don't care if it's an advance payment on the tabernacle offerings to come. I don't care if it's because you love God and His Word enough to just plain sacrifice it above everything else you've done. I want to prove that we can still rally 300 people to say, Pastor's sending out the call, and I'm going to respond. Don't need to know why or where. I love God and His Word and this work enough, and I've got enough years to know we're going to keep moving forward, doing what we're doing, and I want to be a part of this. But more important than anything else, we want to prove to the devil we can slap his head off. And nothing makes him madder than sacrificial giving. He really, this might surprise you, he really doesn't care if you pray and praise and jump and shout and work your ass off as long as you don't give. Because as long as you're not giving, he knows the Spirit of God's not in control of you. And the reason God loves a hilarious giver is he can say to all the angels in heaven, see, like a proud father, they're like me. See, my Spirit has taken root in them. See, this proves the genuineness that my Spirit is in them. God is a giver. He gave His Son. His Son gave His life. And I've taught it over and over again in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, which has the passage, God loves the hilarious giver. Not cheerful. Hilaros is the word from which we get hilarity. He loves that because he knows, I know, you know, the devil sure knows, it's not natural to give hilariously. It's not natural to consistently give for no reason other than love of God and His Word. Therefore, any other so-called spiritual attribute can be imitated. Giving cannot be maintained God's way. It can be maintained if you play the game of offering you something in return for your gift. But it is not natural to give as a simple act of worship. That's what we're doing. Do I think that every person among our congregants can give $1,000 by Sunday? No, I don't. Do I think everyone can give sacrificially more than they were going to give? Yeah, I do. But I'm absolutely certain there are 300 and now only 77 left that can give $1,000 by Sunday. And I want you to start it right now. So get on the telephone. Well, now you got a challenge. 68 to go. That's better than 69, which is an upside down 6. I thought I was going to have to say 69 to go, but he ran over here with one more. 68 to go. I want you out of the 60s. Take me out of the 60s. And I'm looking around. I want to express appreciation to some of those that have regular commitments, but you've caught the challenge, and there are people here every night and that have come one night and have come every night since. That's what's going on. It's a battle of faith that most of the old-timers in this church will remember. It's times like this that cemented the core of this church. Now, we have lots of people show up on Sunday. They never come to get in the trenches with us. This is where what I teach about faith as a group is put in practice. This is where together we win a battle. I don't know why some of you are home. This could be the night we win the victory. Wouldn't it be nice if we could do it on Wednesday night? You don't even have to wait until Friday or Saturday. And the devil always starts fighting a little harder as we get into the last few thousand. And we're in these having to say a 6. I don't want that. You say, are you playing numbers games? No, the devil does. He knows what the number means. It's the number of a man. It's flesh. It'll be the number that's associated with the last expression of human sin. He knows what the number means. Numbers are symbols just like sounds and words are symbols. And he uses them because he knows that I know too. Here's where we draw a line and we just slap him down and say, you're not going to win. Now, 8 more people, get in line and make your commitment. Get on the phone. Yeah, but I'm not ready to go yet. It ain't no big deal. And that's my funeral song. But right now, I don't even want the devil to think that I'm leaving. And I want you to get into this battle. You ought to be able to figure out that I'm trimming the sails of the church and bringing us back to what carried us this many years. This is a ministry of faith. Faith ain't natural. Doubt's natural. Self-sacrifice ain't natural. Obedience ain't natural. How many people do you know that consider obedience a virtue? You need to listen to the parable of Jesus. If you do that which you're supposed to do, what's so special about that? If you do that which is your duty to do, what's so special about that? If you obey because you would have done it anyway, having analyzed the order and agreeing with it, what's so special about that? You know, we love to take the biblical principles that have no application and quote them. A cup of cold water in Jesus' name, done for the least of these, done in Jesus' name. And let me put the full color on it, because he hadn't yet screamed in agony on the cross, "I thirst." This little act done in Jesus' name is the same as if you had had the chance to lift a cup of cold water to him on the cross. I did a little teaching before the festival started in my usual gentle and pleading style. You show respect to the pastor because you're saying to God, "You gave Domata to the church gifts. There's nothing that God intended as good for his people that the devil doesn't come in, twist, caricature, and spit on. You don't think he can find more hireling, pseudo ministers than God can find as true gifts to give to the church? I'll say this for the Watchman Nee people. They understood something out of the New Testament. Paul built city churches. God calls a man to a city. You got all these little fractured shopping center for Jesus in every town. If all these people in Los Angeles were called of God, there'd be more of them downtown. They would seize the city. They would join together and force this city to respect the things of God, as the early days of Los Angeles had to. In the early days of Los Angeles, the city fathers wouldn't dare impede progress to the churches on Sunday morning, because in the heart of the city were some of the giant churches of America. On every block, I've watched them disappear. I remember I used to admire a little one of the more classical traditional churches on the corner next to the Biltmore Hotel, a high rise. Church of the Open Door, at least we tried, a high rise. Why are you leaving the city? Parking, expense, all a lie. The real estate is too valuable to waste it for God. take the cash and retreat to the suburbs and let the heart of the city go to hell. God doesn't call His men and give to the church a pastor for the corner of Ogilvy and Fruitcake. Or the Lane Avenue Baptist Church. Well, make sure that no sinner be touched that doesn't live on Lane Avenue. You remember the big fight we had with the state that produced the Petrus Bill? Their landmark case was a little church that had lost all of its members and was down to five, the pastor, his wife, and one other member of the family, and two more. And they decided that they would disband the church, and they sold all the assets and got $25,000, sent $5,000 to a similar denomination church back in the corn country, another to the Berkeley Theological Seminary, another to the mission in Richmond or somewhere. Oh, the state moved in. This is the such and such a street Baptist church. And the seminary is not Baptist and it's not a church. And the mission is not a church and not Baptist. And the other churches they gave money to are not such and such a street church. So the state took the money and applied what they call a Cyprus doctrine and divided the $25,000 up between all Baptist churches in the city of Richmond. And I think they probably all got 20 or 30 cents apiece. And that became the case for the Attorney General to take churches over and make sure that the money was spent according to what the charter said the purpose was, when there's not one out of 100 church members that even read a charter. They want to build a church, and such church over here has got a constitution bylaws, let's borrow it, and we'll vote this in. And all the ignorant pastors in California were criticizing me for fighting the government. When if I hadn't won that battle, the government would take the churches over. And their main move was to stop all the money going out of California and let the civil division of the Attorney General take feathers on their back that they kept money from going, because you couldn't send money to a worldwide mission organization if it wasn't a member of what your charter said you were. Remember the hamburger decision? Can't. Oh, he uses a case. If the board of the church rents a park for $150 on a Sunday afternoon to have a baseball game for the teenagers, that is civil fraud. And then once you attach the word fraud, everybody thinks they're a criminal. Civil fraud means you have diverted money for a charitable organization from that which is the stated purpose of the charter that organized it. And unless the charter said you could rent parks for kids, Attorney General can take the church over. Fire the board, fire the pastor, accuse them of civil fraud, and they can't use church money to defend themselves. Remember what I did? I went to King's House 1, sat down, and started writing checks from both churches to every hamburger place in town, and sending people to buy hamburgers for everybody that was in the congregation. And there ain't nothing in our charters that say you can buy, that we're chartered in order to buy hamburgers to feed the people. It's as close as I ever came. I don't know if you were watching closely, but sometimes when I wrote with the pen, I used this finger and wrote the check. I wrote the checks on TV and said, he made hamburger of the Constitution and we'll make hamburger of his decision. And we did. If we hadn't won that, as I was saying earlier, I dealt with an issue. This church, you will learn to respect the position of the pastor. Yes, sir. And you will, when you do that, see it as an opportunity to say, thank you, Lord, because you provided an under-shepherd to feed us. It's not natural, because the ways of God, God's ways are not man's ways. It's not natural to believe you put God first and His work first and make it a priority in your life, and He'll make you and yours a priority in His life. It's not natural to raise $300,000 for no reason other than just because we're going to show that we have a congregation that loves God enough, trusts the pastor enough, we're going to do it. That's what this is about. Now get me out of these 60s. We got 64 to go. Now get on the phone. I don't think I want any more music. I don't want any more pictures. I want out of this 63 to go. We're at the same place we were last night. The devil's drawn a defense line, and we break through it with sacrifice and faith. This is not an entertaining program. This is a call to arms. A call to battle. You're not battling yet, all of you. Some of you are, but not enough. I'm not going to play any more music. We're going to get out of this 60 to go business. Now get on the phone. Increase whatever you were going to give to 1,000, or make a new pledge for 1,000. We're going to reach 300 giving 1,000 by Sunday. Well, why? Because we are. This is like God saying, I am that I am. We're going to do it because I've drawn this line, and either the devil wins or faith wins. Now, where's the next 1,000? Get busy and get on the phone. I don't want to see a voice of faith standing there without a phone. I'd like to see 2 phones on their ears. Get on the phone. Don't slow down, Reggie. What's the matter with you? Forget the camera. Run in front of the camera. Get this done. Tired of saying 63 to go. Ridiculous. We ought to get it in the next hour. Okay, 58 to go. Now, go back to the music. Well, now, you going to let up on us now? No. Well, we've got the advantage. Push on. Get on the telephone. That's a little better. Got some life in here now. And look, when we broke the barrier, how fast it moved. We have 55 to go. 55 to go. Yes, stay on the phone. Come on. Now, there are some of you watching tonight that didn't watch Monday night and didn't watch Tuesday night. This is Wednesday night. Been live every night. 245 people have joined the fray and done their part. There's 55 more of you that have to complete this victory. And 245 of you, that's really a drop in the bucket to our total audience that just sits and watches. God sees you. I'm sure there's some of you sat there, well, I never, ever heard of a man raising money just sitting there saying nothing. Well, you can never say that again, can you? This is the time we find out if you've been hearers of the word and will not become doers. This is the time we find out if you're just a faith thinker rather than a faith actor. Faith hangs your body on the Word. Let him that's taught, Galatians 6, and the Word mutually or jointly share with the one who has taught you in all good things. I haven't seen anybody tonight give any jewelry or car or real estate or houses or art or things or coin collections. Or stuff you plan on leaving to your kids that are not even watching tonight and not even serving God. You ought to write a will that gives things to God. Then your kids will pray you don't die, hoping that you'll change it before you die. The issue is, are you just playing at this faith walk, or are you willing to do it? Are you willing to step forward and sacrifice? Well, I've been given regularly more than your tithe. All you're doing is paying tithe. You aren't giving anything. And I'm going to say what I said Monday night. If you ain't tithing, you're going to hell. Huh? If you're not tithing, you're the boldest thief in the land. Stealing from God. The tithe is the Lord's. It doesn't belong to you. And if you will not give to God what He's clearly claimed, do you think that you're even approaching Luke 14? If any man will come after me and hate not his father, mother, wife, children, brother, sister, yea, and his own life also, and he that doesn't take up his cross and come after me and forsake all that he hath, and you don't even tithe. Well, it's Old Testament. Well, Jesus said that you ought to have done. So don't give me that crap. Too many people in our congregation are not tithing. Some of you come here and are a living lie when you walk through the door, because nobody's supposed to be in this building that isn't a tither. That makes you worse than a thief. That puts you in the category of Ananias and Sapphira, claiming to do something you haven't done. God killed them. That's pretty serious New Testament doctrine. It ain't natural to put God first. It ain't natural to see us lockjawed down when I was having to say 60-some to go. The minute we broke that barrier, we raced ahead to 55 to go. Then while you're preening your feathers and shouting hallelujah, we come to another sliding halt. Even the sports world displays all the time people that don't know how to close out a victory. They get close and then they relax. I mean, I've been amazed as I've watched these sprinters in the Olympics. Is it my eyesight, or is my TV going slow motion, or about two steps from the ribbon, they slow down? Well, I got it one, so slow down. We need to press on to victory. 245 of you have sacrificed. Well, put your pot of coffee on and get a phone close to where you're sitting and keep these phones busy until we get the victory. We can get the 55 tonight. Now get on the telephone. Well, we're stuck on 55 to go. You going to just let that happen, or are you going to say, I'm getting out of my foxhole like the whole war depends on me, and I'm going to do something? Even you that can't give the 1,000, do something. Add to your sacrifice. Get faith in this room. Everybody's tired. We've been going at this 3 nights. At least you're home. Drink some coffee and stuff something in your mouth, and then get on the phone and start talking. Come on! Get on the phone! All right. We've been here before. I don't want any more music right now. The devil doesn't care. He doesn't care at all about this 290. He knows he's lost that battle. Now, it's still victory for him and defeat for us if we don't get this final 10. I mean, even if we were raising the money for some particular need, which we're not, 290 would come close enough to whatever 300 is necessary for. The issue is now totally a spiritual battle. Now, I would guess that this final 10 will not come from the onlookers that have said no to what, if they're lucky, has been urging from God. They're already practiced in saying no. It's going to come from the people that have already sacrificed. Go just another step. Now, I want every one of you to understand what a spiritual battle this is. What its purpose was when we started was to prove to the devil we could win this. Now, I want every phone busy. I don't want any music. I want number 291 right now. I want 291 right now. $1,000 by Sunday. We're live. The clock's ticking. I want this victory tonight, which seemed impossible when we started. I want 291. Bring it to me. You got to step forward and pay the price to be the final 10 that bring us victory. Now, where's 291? Now hold your hand up, voice of faith, when you got it. I don't want to waste a lot of time writing a long message. I want 291. Yeah. Give it to Reggie and bring it here. Let the other people write it up later. Just hand it to me. That's 290. Give it to me. I want 292 now. Hold your hand up, voice of faith, when you got it. They can write the details later. I want 292. Hurry up! I want number 292 to lump on the devil's head. Where is it? Better find it in a hurry, Ridger. I'll take it out of you. 292. Bring it here, right to me. 295. That's three of them. What's 296? That's four of them. What's 296? What do you know? We got a six. 296. Five to go. Get over here with 296. 296. Where's 297? Where? Where is it? Thought I had it. 297. Four to go. Four more. Who's going to make 297? Hold your hand up and get it over here to me. 297. I like to win victories.
Yes,
hate the devil.
Yes, sir.
I wish the Lord would commission me to be one of those that throws him in the lake of fire. Come on, where's 297? We're putting lumps on him. Come on now, just four to go. 296 down. Where's 297? Stop breathing. Just get the job done. Well, I've done my part tonight. Do more. Where's 297? So close. Don't even slow down. Now, some of you are trying to watch this. Get on the phone. Here's 298. Where's 299? Two to go. Where's 299? Where's 299? Now, where, there's 299. Where's 300? Here's 299. Where's 300? Who's going to give us the victory? Last one. One more to go. One more to go. Who's number 300? What an honor to be the one that says, there, in your face, devil, or any other tender spot. Where's number 300? Well, you all saw it before I did. That's 300. Stop! I don't want any more! Stop! I don't want any more! Now, frog! No any more! Just one to win with the devil. No one anymore. Come on. Oh! Feels real good to win, doesn't it? Thanks for seeing it through with me. Now go back to work.
Yes, sir.
This week, we can return to teaching. We can return to the regular teaching on the network. I hope all of you realize we really laid one on the devil.
Yes, sir.
Right. He'll think up something overnight. He'll get up in the morning praying and not fainting.
Yes,
you got it? Get back on the phone. You ought to be rejoicing out there with us and call these voices of faith and thank them for being here these 3 days. Get on television.